What's going on, everybody? You listen to Seggy Station. This man has a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. Monday, March 8th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to the Seggy Station podcast. I got some company coming through today as well. A little bit of a time change issue with my dude Raj, but hopefully able to link up with him here in about 4 or 5 minutes for approximately 10 minutes or so. Glad he's able to make a little time to come through, talk a little PGA Tour, golf season right around the corner. And then obviously with the NBA All-Star game last night, couldn't help but hit up my NBA phenom, Rich Hot Takes Letty. Got a bunch of NBA news to get into with him as well, with Blake Griffin going to the Brooklyn Nets. Should be a fire show. NFL off-season activities, college hoops cranking up, and a lot of good rumors swirling around the sports world. Appreciate all love and support for the podcast, as always. Coming in once a week, couple times a week, back to work. Hopefully, saw some warmer weather this week, so looking forward to potentially getting back outside here in the golf business up in the Northeast shortly. Keeping my fingers crossed on that. A lot of good stuff to get into in sports today. Bryson DeChambeau winning the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and I'm looking forward to linking up hopefully here with Raj to discuss that. It's been good getting back to work. Been dealing with a mouth problem, which, by the way, nothing hurts more than a mouth problem, and I'd rather be getting a fucking neck tattoo, to be honest. And I've gotten tattoos. I mean, this shit is fucking killer. I had to really cop in and go for the Aleve this morning, which I, like, not a big proponent of medicine. Also been seeing about 2.5 million people getting vaccinated a day. A lot of good news on the forefront, obviously, with the virus still impacting the sports world, with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid being pulled from the All-Star Game contract tracing, and obviously an everyday social life as well. Back at your job, people heading back to work, all of this stuff really coming out that things can be back to normal, 100% open, as like Texas. Hearing things about Connecticut here shortly. It's been a long time. We'll see how it goes. Just going to keep my fingers crossed on the whole situation. Looking forward to getting into with the boys here in a second. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect, as always. Appreciate that love and support for the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Seggy Station. Also got a live version of the pod up on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. And got the podcast still up on my Podbean, out on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, a few other platforms. So hopefully you get your podcast there. Hopefully Raj is here in a moment. Looking forward to linking up with him if possible. Rich should be here at the bottom of the hour. Get into the NBA All-Star game. Blake Griffin to the Nets. Obviously the second half of the NBA season. And I don't know if he's been watching much college hoops, but college hoops has been fire. UConn, another unreal performance this weekend. And in my opinion, looking like a second lock team to get to the weekend. Now that we're going to have March Madness back, it's March. Looking forward to getting into some college hoops. Obviously, the tournament is always something that basketball fans enjoy, and with Selection Sunday being this Sunday, be able to get our brackets up and going, get in your family, friend, pools, whatever it is, it's always a good time. And obviously, not having it last year is kind of crazy to put in perspective now that we're finally getting it back, even though it's a single-sided event, even though it's limited fans, you're starting to see limited fans at golf events, which I saw this past weekend at Arnie's place in Florida. We're going to have the Players Championship this weekend, which is, if you all recall, when golf really went on the hiatus last year, coming up on the 1 year anniversary for real of the sports shutdown with Rudy Gobert and all the professional sporting leagues basically after that to follow, including the NCAA tournament. Keep your eye out for UConn, Illinois. Mentioned Houston a few times. They got Baylor, Gonzaga, Michigan slated as one seeds UNC took a season sweep of Duke this weekend. Duke 11-11, 9-9 in the conference, looking like they're going to be out of the tournament. 24 straight NCAA tournament appearances, third all-time record-wise in that regard, looking like they're going to be out. 93% chance now after the victory that UNC will make it to the big dance. And now 16-9, 10-6 in the conference. West Virginia also slated up there as a 3 seed, even though they had a tough loss, 85-80. Ohio State is up there as well, but don't forget that I always mix up OSU and OSU because it's Ohio State and Oklahoma State. Cade Cunningham, 85-80 was the game, West Virginia against Oklahoma State. Cade Cunningham not playing in that game, along with another Oklahoma State top player, and they get out of there with the victory, 85-80. So I'd keep my eye out for Oklahoma State. I'm extremely high on UConn with what I saw this weekend, this past weekend up against Georgetown. Obviously, it was a situation where it got out of hand pretty quick for Georgetown. UConn now 14-6. It was their largest halftime lead in 7 years, up 27 points at the half, 51-24. Patrick Ewan out there coaching Georgetown, and Dan Hurley, really known as an identity on the defensive side of the ball. We're seeing UConn really take over offensively with James Bouknight averaging 21 points in conference play and had another 21 in this game. 23-9 rebounds, 8-0 offensive rebounds in the first half for UConn up against Georgetown. Getting hot at the right time, getting a lot of their players back at the right time. And if y'all remember, back in 2014, Kevin Ollie got his team to a 7 seed, in which they're looking like an 8 seed UConn is right now, maybe getting into a 7 slot, where they ended up winning that NCAA tournament. Boak, right, Shabazz, Kevin Ollie. A lot of what I'm seeing with this team, with what we've seen out of, obviously, Bouknight and some of these other guys, Cole, some of the big guys really stepping up, and really Dan Hurley's philosophy taking a chokehold on this institution. And we'll see them in the tournament for sure. We'll see if they're able to do something. Liberty got the first NCAA bid. I saw Morehead State, I believe, got another bid, auto bid. It always seems to be these teams getting in early that are obviously lower seeded in the tournament based on what conference they play in. Saw my Shauna Clears get in the tournament a couple times and have to play up against 16 seeds. I think maybe one time we got a 215, but still not ideal play-in situation. Obviously, the cream of the crop is a lot of those other teams. Bama and the SEC, with Kentucky being out this year, really. 9 potential Big 12 teams in the tournament, which will be the most. And, oh, let's go. Raj is here. Yo!
Yeah.
What's good, kid?
Chillin', chillin'.
You back at work? You carrying the bag and shit again, or nah?
I'm starting this week. I get 2 large ice caramel macchiatos and one of these double bacon things.
So we're actually on a
Tuesday. Let's do the sausage thing.
We only have the bacon Gouda.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. That's fine.
This guy's the man. Love this kid. You're starting this week, bro?
Yeah, sorry. Hang on. What's that?
That's hype, dude.
Hold it. Okay, how much is it? Yeah, so I got a couple of guys coming in from Odessa on Thursday for the weekend.
Oh, and, yeah?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And then, actually, on Monday, I've got this kid. He's 13. He's from Texas. His parents want me to work for him. I'm hoping this is going to be good. This kid's uncle's a member at Augusta and Seminole.
Oh, shit, dude. That's awesome, bro. So, I'm glad you're getting back on the bags.
A full week of work coming up.
Dude, I'm pumped for you, bro. That's solid, bro. I went back to work this past week, warming up a little bit here on, obviously, the northeastern side where we still got snow, but it's trying to melt off, so hopefully another couple weeks we'll be back outside. But, nah, I'm hyped for you. I saw just in like the sporting world, that April 1st they're gonna start allowing fans out there, so it seems to be cleaning up at least a little bit, right? Able to do a little more and whatnot.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah,
you get back to work and shit.
That there was no fans there for our big tournament last month, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I saw that we finally got fans back out the event yesterday, which I did want to touch on real quick if you got a second. We've talked about Bryson DeChambeau a couple times on the pod. I'm not really a big fan, honestly, because, to be honest, if a guy hits a golf shot, which, by the way, was incredible, the line he took, he hit it, I believe, 370 yards, which was the longest since TrackMan has begun tracking in the PGA Tour, I believe, in 2003. I mean, a ridiculous golf shot. But after you hit that golf shot, when you go and put your hands up in the air like this and make yourself, in my opinion, look like a total D-bag, I'm not going to be a fan of that. I'm happy he won the tournament. You know, I'm not going to root for anyone to lose. But I wouldn't be mad if a guy like Tony Finau, who hadn't won a golf tournament, I believe, like, ever. Some of these other guys like Jordan Spieth trying to win again. Even Lee Westwood, who came in second. I wouldn't be mad to see him win after not winning at all, really, and coming up short a few times in his career. So I guess that's my take on it. It's his 8th PGA Tour victory is Bryson. We got the players this week. I'm just curious if you're a fan of his, if you're on his trend to winning more golf tournaments with that type of game, or if it just kind of was another tournament he was able to just outdrive everybody and then he ends up winning.
Yeah, dude, it's breaking the game for sure, which is like, that's wild. But, I don't know. He's polarizing, right? Like, I feel like people either like him or you really dislike him.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that do dislike him for sure.
Yeah.
He actually grew up like 2 hours from where I'm at, in Fresno, California, and so I know a couple guys that played some junior golf with him.
Yeah.
And I've known guys that have played, like, been in the locker room with him, and you know, been out from all the accounts. Everyone, he just seems weird.
Yeah.
Like, everyone just says he's just kind of, like, an awkward dude. Like, he's awkward, man. He's not, like, smooth. Like, he doesn't, like, he's just a weirdo, you know?
Yeah,
that's why
I mean,
he rubs people the wrong way. I don't think that it's really that he's an asshole. I think he's just weird.
Yeah, like, I think...
That's the vibe I get.
It could be that. I think it's, like, part of the way he's kind of taken over the tour, in my opinion, which is like almost like swinging like Happy Gilmore, which, I mean, it's not a problem, and he's good at it. He generates the proper speed, the proper swing path, and, you know, he's got a ton of power and force that he generates from the ground up. I mean, you can't knock it. But I would say that it is this, like, he does kind of bring this Happy Gilmore-esque to the PGA Tour, in my opinion.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So... Like, for me, like, I'm more of a guy that likes, like, more of a classy guy. Like, you see Dustin Johnson win a golf tournament, like, he goes like this and then just kind of, like, bows his hat and, like, doesn't say anything. Not that, like, I'm not all for, like, some guys celebrating, like my brother was saying when I was giving him some shit about Bryson today. He's like, bro, Tiger does fist pumps and stuff. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's not sticking your hands up in the air and making it like a fucking clown show.
That one was wild, but I think it was, like, pretty genuine, too. Like,
yeah.
It is, and I'm the same way. Like,
I think that was the first tournament they were allowing fans, too. So I would say that hearing the fans there again and, like, hearing the fans in some of these NBA games and obviously at NFL games, we heard it a little bit. Like, at least being able to hear fans at sporting events, I think, provides that little bit of edge for these athletes, and it's something we've been missing for obviously a minute. All right, so I know you got to probably get out of here after I got a couple more quick ones for you, which is, obviously, you heard about the Tiger Woods crash, right? And here's my thing about golf, and I watch a lot of golf, and I'll watch the players, and I'll watch the Masters. You got a bunch of good tournaments coming up on the PGA Tour, and we just watched a good one we just talked about. Saw a hole-in-one by Jazz, saw a hole-in-one by Jordan Spieth and Jazz. I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name. But good tournament, low-scoring tournaments. They've been really competitive, and I think it's good for the PGA Tour, only good for the players and obviously Augusta coming up. But I'll say this, bro. As a golf fan, as a golf guy, as a PGA professional, golf is not the same to watch when I know Tiger Woods is not playing in the golf tournament. And just in the back of my mind to know that the dude almost died this week, and all I've been hearing is people throwing slander on him that, oh, he's probably drunk, he's probably using drugs, he's probably this or that. Obviously, the investigation's going into it, and you're hearing a lot of different reports coming out in and out of it. I mean, my reaction to this is just devastating, and I just hope the man can maybe, I mean, I don't even know how to get into this, like, at least be able to, like, spend some time with his family. Really hope he can play golf at some point again, but on the tour, I'm not so sure he will, and just the thought of that makes me sick to my stomach. Just wanted to obviously throw that in there since last time we chat, this happened, and it happened out in your area. Not near you, I don't think, but at least in your state. So just wanted to get any thoughts you had on it real quick.
I mean, it sucks that we're late to the party. I wish we could have got, like, a gut reaction out of this. Because it did happen, like, 10 days ago, right? But immediately, my first thought, because it happened in the morning, and I remember I was up and, like, ready and, like, getting ready to go do some bullshit. And I want to say it happened at, like, 7 in the morning.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And my first thought was, oh, fuck, like, this is Kobe Bryant all over again.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't.
I can't hear you. You there? Hello? You though.
For sure. Yeah, no, so like what I felt so bad for him. It's such a bummer. But like, we're happy he's alive, right? I don't imagine him playing golf again. As a former athlete, it sucks getting hurt. And like, dude, you get back surgery and then you go have a fucking rolling car crash and you crush your ankle into 10 pieces and you're 45 and you've already won 18 majors.
Yeah, 15, 82. He's got 82 career PGA Tour victories, which tied first all time. 15 majors. But make up a really good point. It's just sad because I was trying to watch him golf more, and it's crazy that he won't really control his own destiny and being able to walk away from the game. It kind of got taken away from him from obviously a horrific accident. Definitely wild. So I've asked you a few things on the pod before I let you go. I'll ask you just a couple more on it because they've been expanding. I'm definitely going to ask Rich about it. He'll be here, I think, in a minute. But Blake Griffin to the Nets, you like that? Dislike that? You like what the Nets are doing? 10 of 11 before the All-Star break? What's good?
Is that confirmed? Is it done? Is it going through?
Yeah,
Blake Griffin is on the Nets?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Why not?
are you worried about the Lakers being able to do anything if fucking the Nets are like this or what?
Oh, dude, Blake Griffin's over, dude. What's he gonna do?
I'm not worried.
I can probably dunk better than that guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you said that. Have you been following any college hoops?
No, not at all.
Yo, UConn is a thread, bro. And to
shut
be,
up.
Yeah, and let me just tell you right now, if you're doing any brackets out there, if you pick UConn to win it and throw like $10 on it, you might get a huge fucking payout on that. Here to hear first. UConn is legit, bro. If you do a tournament, UConn, Oklahoma State, Michigan, and I think Houston is another sleeper for me. But you got your Baylor, Zags, Iowa. But, yo, I'm serious, bro. UConn is legit. Locked to make it second weekend if you do a bracket. Obviously, Selection Sunday is this Sunday. March Madness really going to crank up here in about a week and a half. Check it out for sure if you can. You heard it here first. Then real quick before you go, real quick before you go, the Giants, bro, I love it. They released Golden Tate. That means they're bringing in weapons. That means they're getting more wide receiver help for Daniel. A lot of the stuff I've been saying, trying to bring back Leonard Williams, Dalvin Tomlinson, trying to keep that defense and get this dude weapons. Exactly what I asked for. It's like a Christmas gift. You liking what we're doing? You've been following anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I always am up on the Giants. But, yeah, no, I feel like we had that discussion that, like, it was time for, like, Golden Tate get gone and
yeah,
get out of there and all that.
I'm pretty sure you said that, so I got to give you your props.
But Golden Tate's one of those, like, veteran guys that is, like, look, you're too expensive, you know? Like, for your production. Like, you pit 5 games a year, bro. You're on the fucking bench all the time. And we're paying you, like, $12, $13 million. Like, no, dude.
Yeah, for
get
real.
Out of here. I got Slayton for cheap, and he can run quick, you know?
Yeah, for real. He was also complaining about not getting the ball as much, and it's like, bro, you're not even on the field to get the ball as much. I don't know, whatever. I think we've been doing a lot of solid things. I'm pumped for the draft. I'm pumped for what the Giants are looking to do.
I still want
to
get rid of Evan Engram. Don't like him. Never have.
Yep, that's a possibility with what I've been seeing. Kyle Pitts potentially with our first pick, which would be he's like a unicorn type of guy. I don't know if I'd be like totally like bought in on that. Like I think he's great, but like I don't know. I'd love to try and get one of those top wideouts before we got Kyle Pitts, but he has the potential to be a unicorn wide receiver-ass type of guy. So, Travis Kelce-esque, we'll see. Definitely some good conversations, and then with free agency and what the Giants have done, obviously, with retaining a lot of their coaching staff, I think it's great if you're a Giants fan. Glad we got to catch up a little bit, bro.
Sorry I didn't have more time to talk. That was my bad.
It's all good. We'll catch up next time. But I did want to say, next time we can catch up, and next time you got a free second, you got to shoot me your address. You got an address I can obviously send something to, right? Like a letter?
Yeah.
Shoot me your address. I got some stickers made up. I got something for you. I got to send it out.
Hell yeah.
Shoot me your address. We'll catch up soon. Always good to see you, brother.
Awesome. Cheers, brother.
Take care. Much love. Be good. Have fun doing your job this week.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
All right, peace, kid. Hey, Raj. Love it. I'm going to do my read and break now, and hopefully Rich will be here when we get back. Be right back in the Sega Station. Dig it. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Sega Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is a dog. Shout out to Rescue to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household. Better love, companion, and pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life, and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Jordan Spieth talked about it a little bit with Raj. Hole in one. Arnold Palmer Invitational, Bryson DeChambeau, number 6, 370-yard drive. Was a really good tournament with the Players Championship on deck this week for the PGA Tour. First major of the year. Looking forward to that. CeCe Hooks, Ohio Senior Night, 31-11-10 steals. I don't know if you saw that, Rich, but we were shouting out TJ McConnell for getting 10 steals. CeCe Hooks. An absolute dominant senior night. Rumor out there in the NFL that Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, leaning towards retirement. Broncos reportedly made contact with the veteran, saying, quote, it looks like he's going to be out of the mix. Brooks Koepka, he withdraws from the Players this week. Four-time major winner with a knee issue. And Phil Mickelson falls out of the top 100, the first time 1,425 weeks, which was a record. No charges will be made and brought against Broncos linebacker Von Miller in regards to an ongoing investigation by the Parker Police Department. Miller's attorney, Harvey Steinberg, was unavailable for comment. There will be charges that were going against Kellen Winslow II. He was sentenced Wednesday to 14 years in prison for multiple rapes and other sexual assault charges against women. This story is pretty crazy because one of them was a homeless one that he attacked in 2018. 37-year-old is the son of Chargers Hall of Famer Kellen Winslow. Appeared via video conference at a hearing in San Diego for his sentence on Wednesday. Not good. Not good. Lions, they signed wide receiver Tyrell Williams to a one-year deal worth up to $6.2 million. National starter John Lester. Shout out Sox John Lester. He's going to go undergo some thyroid surgery. I don't know what that is. Former Titans tight end Delanie Walker. He's expected to make a return to the NFL after sitting out this past season due to COVID and to get 100% healthy per source. Mia Chara will become the first black female official in the NFL. We all know about Sarah Thomas. Shout out Mia Chaka. I don't even know if I'm definitely botching the name, but you just got to shout her out for sure. Saints are cutting veteran punter Thomas Morstead after 12 seasons. Rich, Mark Cuban says the Mavs will begin to accept Dogecoin. That's literally what it looks like to me, as payment for tickets and team gear. Seven new positive COVID tests this past week in the NFL, in the NBA, Rich. Also, we saw the instance with the Sixers, two stars at the All-Star game this past week. Definitely wanted to touch on that. KG says his quest to buy the T-Wolves is over. And this is very interesting here because the T-Wolves owner says, quote, Kevin never contacted me at all saying that he was interested. I don't really understand that. Finally, Vikings released tight end Kyle Rudolph. We'll see if he gets back into it. David Johnson agrees to a one-year, $4.25 million guaranteed deal to remain with the Texans. I guess he's the only dude that wants to stay in the Houston area. Word. Rich, I think, is here. You here? Oh, yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
What's good, guy?
Not much, man. I didn't know that about David Johnson, but overall, interesting All-Star game last night, I guess. I don't know. I think you're we'll get into it a little bit, but I think I didn't take a hard stance on either side, but you were probably right in your stance with the Ben Simmons and Bede thing. Not that you predicted that exactly happening, but that it just probably wasn't worth doing, especially for the end result, which was like, what was the coolest thing we saw last night? Don't get me wrong, like, I watched, it was fine, but like, the 3-point contest was probably the coolest thing. Nothing else was that crazy, so like, I don't know, probably wasn't worth it with the risk that was there, but it sounds like everyone's okay with the report that everyone tested negative that was there, so not worth the risk, but I guess they got lucky.
Let's touch on it for a second, though, because I saw this report yesterday, or the day it came out of it. Yeah, it was literally the day of the All-Star game, Sunday morning. I was at work, and I literally just started laughing out loud because I immediately just thought of the conversation we had. I'm just thinking of the backlash from the NBA players, and I think it was a good setup, but just to have a situation now where hopefully the two Sixers stars are ready to play come Thursday when their game is going to be out of the All-Star break. But if not, like, to me, that's like, damn, like, they might probably, in my opinion, will lose that game, like a game in which they probably might not lose if they're there. Kind of the whole thing with the, I don't know. Hopefully.
Imagine, I mean, the crazy thing is, and this kind of goes along with something, a hypothetical you gave when we talked about this a week or two ago, but it was very possible. Imagine if they hadn't figured out that barber tested positive for COVID for another 7 hours, and they found out in the middle of the game. And if one NBA player tested positive for COVID that was there, even if all of the others didn't, because of their contract chasing rules, when the NBA started back, the 24 best players in the league wouldn't have been playing, which
literally the NBA's worst nightmare. I saw a tweet from Woj. It would have been literally the NBA's worst nightmare. And they were literally, like you said, 7 hours away from that happening. Yeah. Crazy to see that a haircut.
A game or two, it wouldn't have been the end of the world, but it would have been an awful look, like an absolutely terrible look, especially when you're up there, like, shout out all the frontline workers, but we're having this event with people here, and fuck it, but shout out you guys. I mean, like, it was a bad look to have those two dudes come down with it. But hey, it all worked out. So it was fine. I'd say we'll get into it a little. I'd say the All-Star game itself wasn't very exciting at all. Kind of what we could expect, but overall it was fine. Seemed like everything went well.
I just need to know, though, is why in the world are NBA players getting haircuts from dudes that aren't tested prior to them getting the haircut?
I mean, I don't know. Normally that's a tough thing because I don't know. I don't know the regulations on there because I do remember at the beginning of the season, NBA players were pissed because the NBA had some really strict rules that must not apply anymore because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do that because it was very strict rules about who you could see, what you could leave your house for when you're on off days, stuff like that. They must have loosened those as restrictions have loosened in states. I'd imagine people can go to the barber they want like most people can right now, but it is crazy one day before the All-Star game. I'm not saying it's totally their fault. I guess a little bit their fault, but like I saw Joel Embiid say something in an interview, like, or I think it was a tweet. Joel Embiid was like, "Wow, looks like everyone else has a real nice haircut out there on the court," or something like basically saying everyone else went to a fucking barbershop too. We just happened to get fucked, which is a fair point. But you would think that they would have some strict regulations, like you said, about who could cut the hair like a day before this huge event that could go south if someone comes in contact with someone. So either I don't know if Embiid and Ben Simmons went against the rules or if there just weren't rules about who could cut it, but yeah, definitely an oversight by the NBA.
I mean, you just think the NBA is doing all this and saying they're doing all this and then like that happens, like I don't know. Yeah. it just seems not good when you're trying to now start up a second half of an NBA season in which you say that there's 7 new positives amongst the league. So I mean, I don't know. Like, we'll just have to see, I guess, how it goes.
Did you see Embiid's tweet? He goes, you know how everyone called last year, like, the Mickey Mouse playoffs and, like, the Mickey Mouse ring? Like, have you seen that on Twitter at all? Like, people, like, troll last year, like, saying, like, LeBron's ring doesn't count. It's a Mickey Mouse ring and all that. Like, everyone calls it, like, if you just look in the comment section on Twitter of anything basketball, like, people will be, like, Mickey Mouse this or something like that, like, trolling it. Joel Embiid, after he wasn't able to play in the All-Star game, tweets out Mickey Mouse All-Star game.
Yeah. Let's talk about the game after we talk about the contest, because I want to touch on the contest here real quick, and I got a new timer for it. So, Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis, 6'11". Dude looks like he's been doing that. He's been doing that contest a couple of times, but he just looks like he's been doing that every single day. Like that, he made that look way too easy. He absolutely destroyed his competition. And then you got the two biggest dudes in the competition and him and Vucevic in the finals because, I don't know, guys that were faster were blowing layups and Chris Paul, guys that could shoot better were not there to shoot because they were falling behind and couldn't get the pass in against the big guys. Julius Randle didn't look great. Sabonis wins it. Any thought on Sabonis real quick?
Yeah. So I just looked it up. I've never looked this up before. Off the top of my head, I remember a few big guys winning it recently. So I just looked up all the past winners of the Skills Challenge. It started in 2003. And from 2003 to 2015, the first 12 years it existed, it was all point guards that won. I'm just going to shout out names really quick. Jason Kidd, Baron Davis, Steve Nash, D-Wade, Darren Williams, D-Rose, Steve Nash, Steph, Tony Parker, Lillard, Pat Beverly. And then in since 2016 on, we've had – and there's been guards in it. It's not like only big guys do this. There are good guards in it every year as there was the last few years, like Chris Paul. I'm blanking on dudes that were in it past years. But there's always good guards in it. Rondo's done it a few times. The past few years is Karl-Anthony Towns, Kristaps Porzingis, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, Domantas Sabonis.
Yep.
So Sabonis, Bam, Porzingis, Towns. Like that's, and then Tatum is a wing. So 12 years it was all point guards that won. I'd imagine there weren't many big guys doing it back then because big guys just weren't as versatile in like 2009.
Evolution of the playmaking big in the NBA. Yeah, and you're seeing it real time now.
All those names too. Like I don't know if I'd consider Porzingis a playmaker, but he is that like unicorn type guy, can do it all. It's like Towns who has that, Porzingis who has that. And then Sabonis and Bam, who are two of the better playmaking bigs in the league. Like, obviously, Jokic is up there. But, yeah, like, evolution of the playmaking big. Yeah, exactly.
Unreal. So, just real quick before we cover the other contest, because I did see this, and it was in my post. If you could add one contest, and I saw that you liked it, so I screenshotted it, I needed to ask you. A one-on-one? Like, you want to see a one-on-one skills challenge type of thing, or what?
I think the dunk contest needs a break. I think the dunk contest is the coolest
thing. You'd replace the dunk contest with a one-on-one.
It just needs a break. Like, it doesn't need to go away forever. We've seen so many dunks. Like, literally, Winston's first dunk, which didn't get much love and I thought was one of the better dunks of the night, the very first dunk of the night by Cassius Winston.
Cassius Stanley.
Exactly. A dope dunk.
Hey.
Exactly what Zach LaVine did in warm-ups that was all over highlights 2 weeks ago. And I'm not bashing his dunk. It's just that dudes are so freaky athletic that it's so hard to see a dunk now where it's like, I have never seen that. That was incredible.
Okay, brother. We'll get into this in a second on this new bell. Just answer my thing. You do want to see a one-on-one competition during the All-Star weekend.
Yes, I was saying to potentially replace the dunk contest, at least for a few years. Because if you gave the dunk contest 3 years off and brought it back, like, it would be a little bit more fresh. And people, if it was more few and far between, your stars would be willing to play in it.
I got some smoke for you right here. A one-on-one contest would be straight. A one-on-one contest would be straight. And I wouldn't knock having a one-on-one contest during the All-Star break. But replacing it with a dunk contest, that's asinine. The reason why the dunk contest isn't what it was and nearly what it was this year, obviously, is because of who was in it. And this is, you proved my point exactly in your take on it. Cassius Winston, that's not his name. Cassius Stanley is his name.
That's what I meant.
He's never had a dunk in the NBA. He's on a 10-day contract with the Pacers. The other dude, Anthony Simons, who won 2 dunks in the NBA this season. Obviously, we know Obi Toppin, 18 dunks in the NBA this season. Not starting for the Knicks. Not really playing much this year, even though he's a high flyer. If you have guys in this contest like Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards, this would be a different conversation we'd be having today because of obviously who's in it. So I argue, don't get rid of the dunk contest. Make sure guys are in it. Also, a guy like LeBron James, who's never participated in it, that's asinine to me. That's my knock on LeBron James. One thing. Can't believe he's never been in a dunk contest. But I do think replacing it with a one-on-one would be crazy. Add a one-on-one. Don't replace the dunk contest. Cassius Stanley definitely got some heat last night. Shout out, some hate last night. Shout out to Anthony Simons for sure. Like, all the dudes are calling him Anthony Simmons. Like, they don't even know his name. Dude out there winning and hopping like a bunny. And he plays a little bit for the Blazers. And obviously we know Obi Toppin, who did throw down some good dunks, but like I mentioned, bro, if we could get better dudes in that, I think we're having a different conversation. You got about 2 minutes to respond on that.
I would never advocate for anything over a dunk contest that includes Zion, Ja, and all these guys. The problem is, that's never how the dunk contest has worked since, like, Michael Jordan was in the league. The biggest stars never do it. If they do it, absolutely. But the thing is, looking at the past, they don't. Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon saved the dunk contest. The dunk contest was the ugliest thing in the world for like 6 years prior to Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon having like 2-3 great, amazing years in it. Between Nate Robinson to Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon was 10 awful years of a dunk contest. Awful. And it wasn't that the players aren't athletic, weren't doing cool dunks. It's that fucking Josh Green, whatever his name is blowing out birthday candles, and it's not his fault. It's like he's trying to come up with creative new things, but it's like everything's been fucking done. There's only Blake Griffin's throwing down dunks over cars that's blowing people's minds. It's like, yeah, that's sweet, but like, dudes jump that high.
That's the whole point, though. That's the whole point. Like, the dude last night, Anthony Simons, nearly broke his teeth by knocked his whole mouth out by trying to kiss the rim. Like, that's different, and that's why he won, in my opinion, even though these guys potentially had better dunks. Like, this was my knock on the dunk contest. Normally, the judges, right, they have to do the number at the end. I did like how they got to put a name in at the end. But here's my thing. All those judges were former dunk champions. And to not give that first dunk above a 44, what are those dudes doing judging the fucking event? We're going to bitch about Dwayne Wade giving fucking nines and not tens? Like, that is crazy to me.
It was. The dunk contest, my problem is, like, that dunk where he almost kissed the rim, like, the concept of it is cool, but the dunks that are cool now, we have to, like, it's never dunks where it's, like, the Vince Carter, the Michael Jordan, even the Nate Robinson dunks where you're, like, that was a sick dunk. It's, like, you have to rewind it and look at this intricate detail and appreciate how hard that was to do, and, like, I get it, it's cool, like, dunking off, pulling it off another basketball, blowing out a thing, kissing the rim, like, sure, it's all cool, but none of them to me, maybe it's just me, none of them to me are dunks where it's, like, oh, fuck, like the Zach LaVine, like Aaron Gordon dunks, like Nate Robinson dunks, Vince Carter dunks, those are like holy shit dunks. And the problem is, like, there's only so many of those that you could do, so dudes just have to start bringing in props. So it becomes more about the props and extra things you're doing than the dunk, and the dunk's what's cool. I think if you, this is just my opinion. Yes, if you can have the stars in the dunk contest next year, you have the dunk contest every single time. If it's people who are like sixth man, like fringe starter caliber guys, not big names, I would way rather see them take a few years off of the dunk contest because it's the simple law of supply and demand. If you take something away, people want to do it more. If the dunk contest is around once every 3 years, I guarantee you the best dunkers will do it. I guarantee you they will. I promise you they will. If it's around every year and you're begging them to do it and they feel like, eh, I don't have to do it, they won't do it. If you take it away, add a one-on-one, the one-on-one will be sick, and when the dunk contest comes back, it'll be fresher dunks, and I think bigger stars would want
to
do it.
Agree to disagree. I'm going to get into you with the one-on-one with a later take that I have for you in the later topic that I have for you in the NFL before you get out of here.
I do. Just my one-second thing. I do also think either two-on-two or three-on-three would be just as fine. Any of those three things would be equally cool.
Copy that. We'll get into it. Let's get into the three-point contest before we touch on the game, and then I do need to touch on Blake Griffin to the Nets with you.
Yeah.
Probably one of our last things in the NBA before we get out of it. Three-point contest. Okay, Steph Curry is unbelievable. Ridiculous. Last night, not only in the game, though, but the three-point contest, which, like you mentioned, might have been the best part of the night because you got really good shooters in there. Obviously, Mike Conley. But just seeing Steph Curry do what he's doing, obviously you mentioned it before we kind of came in where it's like you want him to be, or he's obviously the clear favorite, but like there's other guys there that could win. It was just one of those things where like as he was going, I'm like, yeah, fuck. I'm like, this is actually insane.
I mean,
like this dude's actually nuts. Yeah. And I'm like watching it and I'm just thinking of like, because I'm not really a big Steph Curry. Like I like Steph Curry, but like I'm not Steph Curry's biggest fan, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not out here fucking going crazy for Steph Curry, but I do like Steph Curry. And what he did last night was just another instance in which he probably proves he's up there for probably, if not the greatest shooter of all time, now a two-time three-point champion. And I do think it's funny how we debated between him and his brother being a better shooter, and his brother can't even get his ass in the fucking three-point contest. Just need to throw that in there real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, three-point contest was good. I had it right. I said when we did our predictions, I was like, well, it's going to be Steph Curry, but that's no fun to say, so I'll say Mike Conley. So I had the main two right. I was pulling for Mike Conley. It was like the announcers were saying. That's like exactly how I felt watching it. Like, I was watching Steph Curry, like, in that last round, it get harder and harder for him to win it. Like, he was bricking relative to what he normally does on, like, the first three racks, and it was like, oh, man, it's going to be hard for him to get it. It's going to be hard for him to get it. And the whole time, you're kind of like, he's going to make his next 9 shots and win this still. And that's basically exactly what he did. Like, it's pretty incredible. I think it's stupid how they turned it into some comment about, like, who deserves the last shot. Like, I forget who started that, Reggie Miller or something, because I don't think a three-point contest guarantees that someone's the best at shooting a last shot. But, yeah, if you're taking a three-pointer, the best shooter ever is Steph Curry. That's not a question anymore. Ray Allen's great, but Ray Allen was more spot up. He could ball handle in the beginning of his career more, but Steph Curry is it's really not even close. It's not close.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. So yeah, just to clean that up real quick, you picked Mike Conley, I'm pretty sure.
I picked Mike Conley.
Anthony Simons, I know that. And who did you pick in the skills? I could have sworn you might have said Sabonis because I said Julius Randle.
I think I did.
Yeah, I said Julius Randle.
Big and a playmaking big. That's exactly what I said. And you did pick Randle. Holy shit. I think I picked Sabonis.
Hold on a second, Rich. I just need to confirm this with you because I'm going to go back and listen to the tape. Nice shirt, by the way. But I just need to confirm this. You went 3-for-3 in the predictions on the contest, and you predicted Giannis to win MVP, but I got some smoke for you on this. I got some smoke for you on this, because that's bullshit. The only reason he won MVP is because he went 16-16, which, by the way, wildly lucky on some of those shots. Most of those shots were bunny dunks and layups, which I watched a fucking fast thing on Undisputed today. That's not MVP. Steph Curry, Damian Lillard scoring the last 11 points and what he's doing, shooting, pulling up from half court, that's MVP. Not Giannis, shouldn't have won the MVP. They only got it because he was 16-16, but credit for you. 3-for-3 on the skills, and the MVP 4-4. Did you bet on any of this shit? Did you bet on it? I saw Pat McAfee making mad money on bets on the sports sportsbook FanDuel, which, by the way, I need to try and get that up and going. You should too.
It's not legal in Connecticut yet.
It will be soon. You should too. Because here's the thing, bro. You went 4-4. You're the man with the predictions, really. And just need to say, though, Giannis shouldn't have won that MVP. That's fucking whack.
I didn't
even
realize I went 4-4, honestly. I forgot about the Sabonis one. Chu and I were talking. It might have been after you left the party before, and I was saying the Giannis MVP. And, yeah, I had Ant Simons winning the dunk contest. Yeah, damn. What was I just going to say? I have no idea. Oh, yeah, the MVP. I agree with you. When I didn't look at any of the stats of the game until like the last 30.
Let me give you a couple. Let me give you a couple stats on this game, though. Hold on.
I know them now.
Hold on.
Give me one second. I didn't look at the stats until after, and I was like, oh, it's got to be. I voted. I texted in and voted for Dame Lillard. I was like, it's got to be Lillard or Steph. And then a second later, I looked at Giannis's numbers. I was like, oh, Giannis is going to win it. I agree. Watching it, Dame and Steph were doing the cooler things. But once I saw the stats, Giannis is going to win it with like 35 points or whatever he had.
Yeah, bro. But here's the thing. When there was 133 threes attempted in this game, 55 made and only 38 dunks, that might have been the greatest distance shooting, long distance shooting we've ever seen. And not only an All-Star game, but just all time. Like, dude, like Dame Lillard pulling. I heard Chris Broussard say this today, and I don't know if I agree with this in actual NBA games, but I do think this will be a thing in the NBA All-Star game, at least, like maybe like as early as next year, where like a half court shot is going to be worth like 4 points. And he was pretty much saying in like 10 years, maybe, like we could see a 4-point shot in the NBA. I don't think that's a thing, but like if they were going to do it, you should probably do it right now with Dame Lillard and Steph Curry, because these guys would actually be making it a high clip, because they literally, that was just absurd. Like the only good thing about the All-Star game, besides I love watching the contest, and I think one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three would be interesting. I think one-on-one would be the best. Two-on-two, the more you add, the more less interesting it gets, in my opinion. Here's the thing. I don't even know what I was just saying about it because I went off on a tangent, but...
Go ahead. First reaction response to that, why they never put in a four-point line is, I think it would just entirely change the game. Because if you have dudes like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard out there and there's a four-point line, you can't just leave those dudes open from the four-point line. And the reason they're taking these deep shots is players have learned, like, okay, I could take a contested shot from on the three-point line, or I could practice shots from a foot and a half back from the three-point line and just be wide open, which is an easier shot for these dudes that have range. Like, a guy like Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, it's like, yeah, give me two steps backwards and I'll shoot it wide open rather than contested right on the line. The problem is, if you have a four-point line, dudes will start guarding him from out there because it's worth even more, not just a tougher shot. But that would just open up the floor even more. Games would be so high scoring. I think defense wouldn't even be a thing. Like, the NBA has already gone that route a little bit, like foregoing defense for offense and shooting. But I think it would be a ugly basketball game with a four-point line. I think it would entirely change how the game's played. I don't think it'd be just fun to watch, honestly. It'd be more scoring, but it would look like All-Star games more of the time, which is not what I want basketball
170
to
150? Yeah, that would be great. We touched on all that a good amount. I did want to get into Blake Griffin going to the Nets, though, because we were waiting to see where he was going to go, and we found out where he was going to land. I saw he's going to play the rest of the season there for $1.2 million. Here's an interesting stat on Blake Griffin, Rich. Obviously, I've been telling you about the fact he hasn't dunked a ball since 2019. That's really interesting, but... six-time All-Star, career $255 million in earnings. I think he's good on the money that he probably forfeited, at least $40 million. I've been hearing some reports on it, to get out of his buyout situation,
he's
become
big,
an unrestricted
big endorsement guy, too. That's probably only a fraction of his earnings.
Get himself to the Brooklyn Nets. Here's my thing, Rich. I've been hearing a lot about this from guys that are legit, too, that this is the piece. Blake Griffin is the piece. And I'm like, what? Like, he's a pick-and-pop player. He can shoot. Bro, he's shooting 24% from three this year. All his shooting percentages are way down, and I've been telling you, he hasn't dunked a ball since 2019. Are we going to see him dunk a ball here soon? Like,
I say yeah.
Like, here's my thing on Blake Griffin, bro. And I said this to you. I said, are we seeing, like, a Blake Griffin just selling out so he can go to another team and just, we'll see a totally new Blake Griffin? I don't think that's going to be a thing. Everyone's talking about this reuniting with DeAndre Jordan and Lob City with the Clippers and shit. Bro, Blake Griffin and what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets, Blake Griffin is not going to be what he was with the Clippers. DeAndre Jordan is not what he is with the Clippers. And I think that's part of the problem. So, like, you bringing in these guys that are you think are going to be something that they're not is going to be what brings the Nets down to the bottom at the end. Everyone talking now, favorites in the East, no doubt about it. Kyrie, James Harden, KD, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. Here's my thing. Nothing's changed for me on them. Nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. I hear you, and I know you don't like the Nets, and I know you don't believe in Blake, and I don't blame you for that. Do you think this makes them worse than they were before, or it just doesn't change anything?
Okay, here's my take on it, honestly. I do honestly think this could make them worse. And I did like the Nets until James Harden went there. Here's the thing. I do think bringing in more and more superstar-esque, all-star type, six-time all-star, Blake Griffin pieces with this guy, KD.
Blake Griffin is not a superstar.
I get it. But, like, here's the thing. The more guys you bring into this chemistry of building equation under first-year head coach Steve Nash with one of the worst defenses we've seen in the NBA with seven games played between this big three that we're all talking about, I do think is going to matter this season. This season. If this team runs it back next year like you talked about, yeah, I think they're going to be the clear favorite. We've seen in the NBA before. Takes a season, team gets together, has an offseason, comes back, wins a title. Like, I can see that with the Nets if that's able what they're able to do. This season, going in to this season with everything they're trying to do, with first-year head coach Steve Nash trying to win a championship, do not see it. Sorry.
Okay, I can give you my, like, pro case and against case. I'm falling somewhere, I think you're being too hard on it, and I think to say he's the missing piece is like, that's just literally just saying stuff to say stuff and fill the airways. There's no way he's the missing piece unless you fully believe Blake Griffin is Blake Griffin of 2018, his first year on the Pistons when he had some injuries but was a all-NBA player. And he's not that. There's a 0% chance he's that. He's had a bunch of injuries since then. I think there is a good chance he's better than what we saw in the Pistons this year. And it goes a little bit to what we've seen in Nick Batum. Like, Nick Batum has literally, just a one-second comparison. Nick Batum has literally looked washed since he played for the Trailblazers in 2015 and gets to the Clippers this year and can play basketball after leaving the Hornets franchise where he was getting minutes and doing nothing. Now, that's not the same thing. And I think people create fake narratives like, oh, DeAndre Jordan, Lob City, oh my God, it'll be great. Like, no, Chris Paul, two of those guys was Lob City. Chris Paul isn't there. Lob City isn't here. That's not a real thing. But what is a thing is feeling better about your surroundings and being like, okay, if I give max effort, it's going towards something. If you give max effort when you only have very little left on the Pistons, it's going towards nothing. You're getting nothing. They're the worst team in the league this year. If you give max effort on the Nets, it's going towards winning a ring. So I don't think Blake Griffin's a missing piece at all. I do think when you're giving guys like Landry Shamet, TLC, Jeff Green, like high 20s minutes, if you're playing Blake Griffin 20 minutes a game and taking some minutes from those guys, I think you got marginally better. I don't think it addressed your issues, but I think you got better.
Yes or no, no other words. Did the Brooklyn Nets get better in adding Blake Griffin?
So I just said, I think you get better slightly, yeah, because he's taking minutes from terrible guys who shouldn't be getting 25 plus minutes. If he was – the only way they get worse from this is if when Kevin Durant is back, they're trying to start Blake Griffin with those other three guys, because Blake Griffin's best asset for this team is doing a little playmaking and shooting off the bench, but he serves no purpose sharing the floor with three guys better than him.
Didn't need to ask you that. 633, I think, is the exact number. I heard it this morning. Career starts, all starts for Blake Griffin in the NBA. Do you think he starts for the Brooklyn Nets?
I wouldn't be surprised while Durant's gone, but I think it would be a huge mistake when Durant's back to start him.
Okay.
With those three guys.
Just want to say this, throw this in real quick before we switch out of this topic, which is, you remember when Tom Brady went to the Bucks? Like, first went to the Bucks, and none of these other guys went there yet. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck? Like, he's running it in there with this team that was whatever it was last year. He ain't going to win. And then guess what happened? Gronk. Couple days later, AB, Leonard Fournette, I mean, the list just goes on and on, really, of guys, and they're still talking. I mean, Ruby's or OBJ going there. My worst nightmare. Here's the thing, Rich. Ever since I was on the Nets train, Kyrie and KD, right? The start of the season. Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, right? This team. I think this team it can do it. This team can win. Ever since they went James Harden. Now they're going Blake Griffin. They've been just reconstruction all around. This actually could be my worst nightmare. Just looking real quick, second half of the NBA season. Just want to throw in a few.
Wait, one more thing before we move on.
Go
from
ahead.
This. My main reason why I just can't see it hurting them is they're playing Jeff Green 35 minutes a night at power forward. And, like, I get it. I defend, like, James Harden's team sometimes. I do like James Harden. This honestly isn't that for me. Like, I won't be hurt if the Nets don't win this year. I'm a Knicks fan. I usually root for James Harden to do well. But for me, Jeff Green, I think, actually is a better player than Blake Griffin for this Nets team because he's a little more quicker on his feet right now, is a little better defender right now. But there is no reason a team that's contending for a championship should be playing Jeff Green 35 minutes a night at the power forward. That is asinine. That is the only reason I think it helps them. If Jeff Green can play 20 minutes a night and Blake can play 20 minutes a night, I think you're better off than Jeff Green playing 35 minutes a night, even though I don't think Blake is – I don't think adding Blake Griffin, if you didn't feel they were a title favorite or contender before, this doesn't change that for me. I felt they were around that place before, but it doesn't like make me go, oh, if they play the Lakers or the Clippers, I like them better now. No, I still like those teams better because they can play better defense. But I think he only helps them marginally. I don't think he hurts them.
All right, so here's the thing. The trade deadline is the 25th. We're coming up on it. We're still waiting to see what happens with Drummond. Reports of him to the Lakers, potentially. We're still waiting to happen. See what happens with the trade deadline. Obviously, Wednesday, as you mentioned, 2 games. Thursday, 11 games. The season's going to start cranking up. I just want to just touch on this topic real quick, second half of the season. Just looking right now at the standings. Yeah. If you go and look at the NBA standings as they are currently constructed, if you look into the East and West, I just want to know if you see any teams falling in, falling out. What do you got?
Let's see. Looking at the East right now, I got who just fired their coach? The Hawks fired their coach.
Yep.
Nate McMillan, the old Pacers coach, is coaching the Hawks now. He's known as a pretty good defensive coach. That's actually the reason the Pacers got rid of him. They were always a contending team, but they kind of felt like they were treading water, and he wasn't taking advantage of what they had on offense. But he's an incredible defensive coach, and like, he might not be the answer in the long run for the Hawks, a team that needs to explode on offense.
Yep.
But for a team that can't play any defense right now, and a guy, his first night on the job, they held the Miami Heat to 80 points in an NBA game. Like, I don't know if he's the long-term answer, but I think he could be what they need if they could figure it out. The Hawks are 16-20 right now. I expect the Hawks to finish around 500 and probably around that 8 seed, maybe pass it. Bulls, Pacers, even the Hornets, who knows, even the Knicks, who knows. But I expect the Hawks to have a better second half of the season than they had a first half here. That would be my one in the East. In the West.
Love to hear that because I had the Hawks making the playoffs. Go ahead.
Yep. In the West, it's tough.
I'm curious with what you got in the West.
They're the ugliest two teams, so I don't want to. Okay, I'll start off by saying I don't expect either of these teams to get into the playoffs, but I do think the Rockets and Timberwolves will both have a better second half of the season than they had first half because both of them don't have their picks this year. They're not in tank mode. They have nothing to tank for, and they have good players on their team. John Wall needs to make a name for himself.
Are the Rockets on a 13-game losing streak right now?
Yeah. I don't think they're getting into the playoffs. I'm just saying those are two teams that, like, tanking doesn't serve them any benefit this year.
Get off of this. I want to know if you think the Spurs are making it. I want to know if you think the Spurs are making it, and if you think the Mavericks are staying into the 7 or 8. What the fuck?
I'm sorry for bringing up the Timberwolves. That was gross. The Spurs. I'm looking right now. The Spurs are the toughest one, honestly. I'm glad you brought them up. It's tough for me to take a side on them because part of me looks under them, and under the Spurs is the Mavericks, and they're all really close. The Mavericks, Warriors, Grizzlies, Pelicans.
Yep.
And I could see, maybe not the Grizzlies, unless they got Jaren Jackson back to me, but the Pelicans, Warriors, Mavericks, I could easily see, talent-wise, they should all be over the Spurs. DeMar DeRozan's playing like a all-star player right now that didn't make it. They still got Greg Popovich. They've had some COVID stuff going on, and they're getting guys back now. Like, it's tough for me to say the Spurs are going to fall out because of who they are, but with all those teams within 4 games of each other and a team like the Pelicans with Zion really figuring it out, I feel like the last month, and like Ingram and everyone, I guess I have the Spurs falling out, but that's not something I say with conviction. I could see myself being wrong about that. What do you think on the Spurs?
I got the Spurs falling out because there's no way that I could have the Mavericks in there and potentially get the Grizz, Warriors, or Pelicans in there, as you just mentioned. I do believe the Spurs will be left out of that conversation with the toughest remaining schedule and most games played.
I do think, I will say though, if I had to pick right now, I'd have the Grizzlies again, which is unfortunate for them because they just missed out on everything last year.
Yep.
I'd have them in the 11 missing out on the play-in, and probably the Spurs, Mavs, Warriors, Pelicans all in there. I don't know if the Spurs would actually make the playoffs, but I'd probably have the Spurs making that play-in and the Grizzlies being the team that takes the boot down.
Yeah, I could see that as a possibility as well, but I do think it's interesting in the East. You just covered it. You just covered it really well, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it shakes up lower in the West and see how the seeding shakes up in the West, obviously, with the Jazz, if they can maintain the one, and then obviously what's going to go down from there on down with the Suns being in a 2 spot. A lot of good stuff out there in the West, obviously. But I do think the East is very interesting because, like you said, I had the Hawks in the playoffs, so right, you got to bounce one automatically. I had the Raptors starting real slow. Van Vliet has been going crazy and talks of maybe trading Kyle Lowry, which I'm still hoping for, to the Sixers. If that happens, I could see the Raptors falling out. If the Raptors fall out, and I want the Wizards there as well, then I'm looking Wizards, Hawks up into that conversation, really knocking on my dude Zach LaVine, really knocking on the fact that Sabonis just won the contest and I like the Pacers. No Caris LeVert potentially could be a factor in that for me. But if they get Caris LeVert back, the Pacers, I see them getting back up into it as well. Wizards, Hawks, Pacers for me are going to get up into that 8, 9, 10 spot going forward with what you see. Raptors currently there. I think the Hornets, I think the Knicks will be in the playoffs. I've covered that. I think the Hornets and the Heat coming back to life are legit playoff teams. So there's not much more room, especially for my guy Russ. Gonna be tough. That literally 6, 7, 8 all the way down to just above the Cavs, in my opinion, because the Magic, that's exactly what happened to them. They go fall off the cliff real quick. Lose 5 here, on a lose 5 streak. We shout out Vucevic a second, but he's the only guy they got right now. Aaron Gordon out. Markel Fultz down ACL for the year. Just tons of injuries going through the Magic. They're not gonna be in there. Team that was a playoff team last year, I mind you. So that's one spot already open. We always talk about openings. Definitely pumped for the second half of the NBA season. Covered way too much of that there, but I got Rich here. Go ahead, Rich.
No, I just can't. It's tough for me to see the Raptors falling out of everything. I mean, I guess if they traded Lowry and they were getting back like future assets, like a young guy, a salary filler, and like a pick or two, and they're not getting back anyone good to add to the rotation, then maybe. I just feel like they just started figuring it out. I really like OG Anunoby and Norm Powell. I think they're real good NBA players. They still have Siakam and Van Fleet. And regardless of what we've said about Siakam or where we've ranked him, he's still like a top. I think we both had him outside our top 25 or whatever we did at the start. But he's still like a top 40, 35 NBA player. So it's tough for me to see him falling out after how well they've been playing recently after getting off to a cold stretch. So, I mean, I'd like to see the Wizards get into the play-in, but for me, I think they're going to be the team that just falls short. But who knows? They've been hot recently. Actually, you know what? I take that back.
Yeah, you better take that back, bitch.
I forgot the Bulls are in it right now. The same reason I was going to say the Wizards fall short can apply to the Bulls, in that they're awful at defense, and I think the Wizards do have some better just all-star players and better overall offense. So I think they probably have a better shot of making it than the Bulls, even though they're one game back right now. But yeah, then the Bulls probably fall out. Wizards could maybe sneak into that 10 spot, 9 spot.
Agreed. I like what the Bulls are doing, but agreed. All right, so we covered a lot of the NBA. That was fire. Let's touch on this real quick. I'm doing quicker timers now, and then I got a couple NFL topics, and we'll get out of here. College hoops. Have you been watching more of it? Did you watch UConn this weekend? What are you doing?
I really haven't been, honestly. I need to watch some more.
Okay, let me just fill you in real quick. I already covered it. UConn had their largest halftime lead in 7 years, 27 points, up against Georgetown.
And then I saw they only won by 17.
It's fine. They nearly scored 100 points.
Yeah.
UConn is a lock to the second weekend in the bracket. Book it. Book it. And
a lock.
Yep, a lock. And we'll see what they do in this Big East tournament as well.
Are they even a lock to make it right now?
Absolutely.
I thought they were like one
absolutely
of the bubble teams.
Nah, eight seed. Strong eight seed.
Okay.
Strong eight seed looking like a 7. Worst comes to worst, a 10. UConn's making the tournament. They're going to do some damage in the Big East. This is a tournament team. Dan Hurley's legit. Book Knight's legit.
Yep.
I think you're looking at a potential 2014 situation here. Keep your eyes on it.
Yeah, I think they were a
7 seed. They were a 7 seed.
Was it Shabazz's year or Kemba's year? I thought they were an 8 seed.
They
maybe
were a
not,
7.
Though.
They were a 7.
7-1 and 6 the other? I was going to say 6 one year, 8 the other, but I could be wrong. I'll tune in around Big East time to every game. I've only watched like 2 UConn games.
Well, it's starting this
year.
Week, bro. You're going to have conference championships this week across college hoops. Selection Sunday this Sunday. Get ready to have a fucking bracket because I want to be in a bracket challenge.
There's no knowledge behind it, but I'll have one.
Yeah, you better. And you're going to get smacked, my man. I've been following up on the college hoops, bro. Get at me.
That means you're less likely to win.
Nah. Don't you worry about it. Name me 8 teams you could see winning the tournament right now.
I'm just gonna be shouting out powerhouse teams with
just
no
go ahead
reasoning
just go ahead
behind my pick.
I just want to hear it. Go ahead.
All right, let's go. UConn. Teams that I know Kentucky's terrible this year. I'll go.
Did you say Kentucky?
I said I know they're terrible this year. I wasn't going them. I'll go UConn. I gotta go North Carolina. I'm assuming they're decent. I don't know. Maybe they're up there. Michigan State, always decent. Purdue, a classic 5 seed. We'll say Purdue. Who else we going here? I feel like Arizona's trash, but I don't know if they're actually trash this year. Oh, Gonzaga's good this year. I know that. Go Gonzaga. How many am I naming? How many more do I need?
3 more.
I feel like Michigan's not good this year, so I don't want to say Michigan. I don't know. Why am I listing off schools? I don't even know people at half these schools.
This is actually hilarious. This is actually hilarious.
Last 3.
This is Temple. Why I did this. This is why I did this to you.
Temple.
Okay, Michigan's a projected 1 seed.
All right, nice.
What else did you say?
Like Gonzaga.
You said Kentucky. They're not making the tournament.
No, I wasn't guessing them. I know Kentucky's having like their worst season ever.
UNC swept Duke this weekend. They're going to make the tournament. They'll be okay. Gonzaga is potentially a 1 seed.
Kansas is probably up there.
Kansas will make the tournament. Not a normal powerhouse. Yeah, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. Interesting.
I'll place an individual bet on you with our own 2 brackets with my 0 knowledge, just knowing the rules of how brackets work and feeling confident that I'll come out on top.
Love to hear that.
Knowledge doesn't help.
Love to hear that. Okay, just a couple real quick ones here. Russell Wilson not looking like he's going to return to the Seahawks. I mean, what's going on with that? Like this is getting pretty ugly. I saw a thing that they released a letter to the season ticket holders, and they named their new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. They named Tyler Lockett. They named DK Metcalf. They named a lot of other players, 17 included, not Russell Wilson. That right there is not an accident. This is not looking good. And a lot of reports are saying it's the Chicago Bears. Russ, I just called you Russ. Rich, are you buying Russ Wilson to the Chicago Bears as a thing?
I just don't get it. I mean, there's obviously stuff we don't know. Like, I know he wants to be protected more. He feels like he's been hit enough. Like, I totally get that. But I don't get why the answer isn't like, we hear you. We will do that this year. Like, that is what we are going to do. We are going to prioritize that in the draft. We will make a trade. That's who we're going to sign in free agency. Like, regardless of how much money you have, just working to improve that. And, like, maybe he doesn't feel like they can do that. Maybe they're unwilling to do that. Maybe there's other issues. But, like, it's just weird to me because he's what, 31, 32 years old, one of the two?
Yeah.
He's in the prime of his career. And I'm not going to compare people to Tom Brady, just like you can't compare people to LeBron James. They're the exception to the rule. They're not the rule. You're not always good for that long. But you're looking at a guy who's 31 and this good right now and one of the better quarterbacks we've ever seen. You're watching Tom Brady still do it in his mid-40s, and it's like, damn, maybe we should keep this guy who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league in his prime right now. So I just don't get why they're not doing whatever they need to do to help him there. Maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to come up with a reason of why that would be, but it's sounding more and more like he's going to get traded. Who knows if that's correct, but I just don't get, if you're Pete Carroll, if you're in ownership or GM of the Seahawks, why you're not just like, we hear you, that's what we're going to prioritize, like, we got you, don't worry, we got it. Like, maybe he doesn't want to hear it. Maybe they have said that. I don't know, but it seems weird that that's not the approach there.
Yeah, I've been on the take that he's going to be back with the Seahawks, but it's looking more and more not like that's going to happen. I'll keep following it. Jimmy G potentially back to New England. I'm hearing a lot of reports on that. Tag deadline tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern in the NFL. We'll see if anything happens in that regard for NFL teams, namely Dak Prescott as well with the Dallas Cowboys. Big name to follow there.
Also, in our big fantasy football league, I have DK Metcalf as my keeper, so I would really like Russell Wilson to come back so that I could still feel confident in that keeper. But, yeah.
That makes sense. Just real quick, I forgot this one to ask you. So, LaMelo, he's the first rookie in 60 years to lead his team in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. Clear rookie of the year, right? I mean, he just started starting games in February. I think we all, me, you, a little bit here on the train that he's the clear rookie of the year. Yeah. Just wanted to know real quick, we've talked plenty of much on the MVP, so we don't need to touch on that, but mid-season coach of the year, mid-season defensive player of the year, mid-season... Am I missing one?
It seems... Like, you can't, I mean, like, I'm of the mindset that Ben Simmons is the best defender in the NBA, but I struggle to see Rudy Gobert not getting it this year. His team's probably going to have the best record in the league. He's the best defensive player on that team. He anchors the whole defense. He's the best big man defender in the league. And while I do think Ben Simmons is the best defender, like, in a span of a week, Ben Simmons gave Damian Lillard hell and gave LeBron James a hell of a tough time. There is not people in the league who can guard LeBron James and two nights later lock up Damian Lillard. That's an insane skill set. Like, anyone could say what they want about Ben Simmons not being able to shoot. Like, to have a guy that can guard the best player on a team, minus like a Joel Embiid, who's on your own team, so it doesn't matter in any matchup, is pretty valuable. So I think Ben Simmons is the best defender, but I think Rudy Gobert will still probably get Defensive Player of the Year this year. I think Sixth Man was the one you didn't say, but I think we both think that's Clarkson. I will tell you, though, Melo is making a case for it. He won't get it. Melo's not going to get it over Jordan Clarkson, and I'm not saying he deserves it, but he deserves to be mentioned. I think he's in, like, that top three right now. I don't think he's going to get it over Jordan Clarkson, but he's up there. Coach of the Year, it's tough to say it's not Quinn Snyder for the Jazz. I do think it's usually fun to look at some, teams that are just outperforming expectations. The Jazz are one, but teams that we didn't even expect to be in the playoffs that are playing really well. And in that case, you'd say Tom Thibodeau, I believe it's James Prego, I believe is the name of the Hornets coach. I think those would be three of my favorites right there. Hornets, Knicks, and Jazz for coach of the year.
I like that. I think your Ben Simmons argument is real good. I've been hearing a lot on that. I think he does have definitely reason to be up in that conversation for sure. As much as I knock on him, his defense is incredible, like you mentioned. Don't need to touch any more on that. I think you're knocking
player. We didn't say that.
Yep, good one. Go ahead. You got that.
No, keep going because I haven't thought about it yet. Keep going.
Good. I think your coaches of the year are good. I think you're knocking Monty Williams a little bit though. That would be my one. Error in that statement you had. I think Monty Williams deserves to be in that conversation with what he's doing with the Suns. Obviously bringing in Chris Paul helps, but I think coaching the team matters, and them being a two seed in the West, we've covered a good amount here. I think he's up in that conversation. Sixth man of the year, Clarkson for sure. We've talked about it a bunch a little bit here, but I do think Melo deserves to be in the conversation. And when I go and look around the rest of the league, like, we've seen Lou Will, he's not in that conversation this year. We've seen Montrezl Harrell, he's not in that conversation this year. So It's really just like Clarkson's been so hot off the bench that it's hard to really not have him as that guy, I think, going forward. But we'll see. A lot of games left.
I think he's a lock, barring an injury or something.
Yeah, a lot of games left.
Obviously applies to anything, but I think he's almost a lock. Most improved's tough. I'm sure there's guys I'm obviously missing. If I like pulled up the Vegas odds, maybe I'll do that right after this just to see like who I'm not thinking about.
Yep.
One of the first guys I thought of, Terry Rozier, maybe. He's having a really, really, really good year.
Yeah.
I can't be Gordon Hayward because he was at an all-star level. Maybe that's like a comeback player of the year kind of. Gordon Hayward, I don't know why I'm focusing on the Hornets right now. I'm going to look it up.
It's got to be. Okay, yeah. Terry Rozier is a good one for sure. Scary Terry is a good one. I think it's clearly Jeremy Grant front runner at the all-star break, though.
I would agree.
Clearly Jeremy Grant. If you go look at his points per game by season and then look at kind of where he's at now, which is averaging like 23 points a game, and you go look at it. You go look at his numbers up against this season. He's got 23 points per game, and then years prior, I mean, he's barely cracking double digits. His first time was last year with the Nuggets, but mainly a defensive guy. I think Jeremy Grant. So but go ahead.
I went out in the middle of that. I'm an idiot, and I tried to search the odds in the tab I was in for our stream, so I left our stream. I don't know how I didn't say Julius Randle. He's at the top of the odds right now that I just looked at. It's Jeremy Grant, Julius Randle, Christian Wood, who, like, he's had an incredible year. I really like Christian Wood, but I thought he was, like, one of the most improved players last year. Like, I feel like Andy's been injured, so, like, he's not there even though I do think he's great. Jaylen Brown, but, like, no, not on the level of those other guys. Zach LaVine, I think, is fair being up there, but after that, I think it takes a pretty hard drop off. So I'd say the two clear choices right now are Jeremy Grant and Julius Randle. Actually, Terry Rozier isn't even – they don't even have odds on him in this graphic, which I think is ridiculous.
That's crazy.
I kind of think he's having they have Tyler Hero up there. Like, how do they have Tyler Hero is having a worse year than he had last year. It's not bad. He's not having a bad year, but, like, it's no more impressive than last year. That's weird.
Yeah, that is crazy. All right, yeah. So basically, I just got funny ones on the way out, which I saw you responded to my last post, which was where you started. Did you start with number 19?
I didn't have it, but like all my cousins had an N64, so like that's what I always played, like James Bond games, Mario Kart games, like everything on N64. So that's like the OG controller. I feel like my first console was the. I don't have that graphic up. I want to say it was number.
Did
like
you ever use number 20 though? That little square box controller.
No.
That's why I screenshot that post and had to throw it in there, because I do honestly remember using like the first N64 with like the Duck Hunter game with the gun.
Yeah, and it had
a controller like that little small 21 where you played like Mario Kart and shit, bro. Obviously, we play video games a little bit, but
my first one was number 13, that PS2 for the first one I owned.
Yeah, and to be fair, so I just need to know real quick, too, which ones, like, haven't you held? Because I've held the Xbox controller, to be fair, in regards to the new Xbox controller, because my brother has it, and I was playing a game. But to be completely honest, I don't think I've really held any other Xbox controllers. Like, I'm pretty much anti-Xbox.
I've held most of them besides the brand new Xbox one, probably. Number 4, I forget what system that is, but that's a hilarious one. I remember those. That had... The thing at the top was like the vibrator shock thing that you plugged in there. I think that's Dreamcast. Dreamcast is number 4. I don't know what number 8 is. That would be what I've never even held or seen. I have no idea. And 12. I don't even know what those are.
All right there, guy. Always good with the games. Hopefully it gets you new console there soon there, guy.
Yeah, for sure. Bush is texting me like, yo, you researched any builds? I'm like, nah, dude, I don't even know what the new game looks like.
Yeah, he was doing that to me too. You probably should though, because I mean, nah, actually here's the thing. Bush is a little bit over the top. You don't need to research any builds. You fucking plug your shit in, you download the right game, not the wrong game like me, and then you go in and you make a guy, and what you're going to do anyways is make 20 fucking guys, so you just do that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to make 25 different guys, try them out, figure out what I like.
It is good, though. The game's good. Like, my guy is Pro 1 or whatever compared to their, like, Superstar Elite, Superstar 7s, and, like...
Yeah, they play all the time. Is it cross-platform? I thought some of his boys played on Xbox.
I don't think it is, no. They must have P5s. And, by the way, rather than 3 deep into the rep, it's 5 deep now.
Yeah, he texted me the other day. He's like, oh, I'm an all-star, like, four. I was like, what? They made it different than before?
It's crazy, yeah. Dude, no, the game is actually, it's got, like, a GTA setup. It's wild.
Pretty cool.
It's something that you just need to experience. I'm just going
to
let you experience.
I'll have to cop it from you Saturday, start it up Sunday morning, the install, and hopefully be able to, like, play a game by Sunday night or something.
You'll be able to play a game by, if you do it at 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll be able to play a game by 10 o'clock. Not even.
I have my shit hardwired to it too, so it installs faster than if you don't. So I feel like it should install decently quick.
I downloaded 2K in like an hour.
Okay, yeah, I'll be good.
All right, yeah, we'll link up for sure. I don't know if Smats is coming through tomorrow or not, but I'll probably do that, and then I'm back to work, and then I'll link up with you when I get your package.
He said he was coming through tomorrow. When do the tournaments start for college?
This week the tournament's Selection Sunday 14. March 10th is the Big East, so that's what, 2 days from now? And then,
oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Let's go. That's dope.
Yeah, bro. It's tournament season. You got Selection Sunday this Sunday, and then that Thursday is probably start of March Madness. That shit comes quick, brother. It's already fucking March 10th.
I've gotten into this pattern, and I like it. It's nothing against ESPN or anything, but I watch very little, like, TV now, and I found, like, so many podcasts and, like, shows on YouTube and stuff that I like that are, like, more specific to the things I'm interested in, but the problem is I don't hear anything about the things I'm not watching. So usually I get like the little bit of like college football, college basketball stuff. Now I'm just like, I have no idea, but I know more about the NBA and football, but I don't know anything about the other things.
Yo, your guy's the plug with the Sports Center read. Shout out.
I got you. Good shit. Let's see. I was trying to see when UConn's next game is, but it didn't pop up right away. Maybe they don't have do they not have the schedule out for the Big East tournament yet?
Yeah, they might be done until the tournament starts, in which it's just
seeding. Yeah, they are. It says they play March 11th, but to be determined who they're playing.
Yeah, that means they got a bye. Yep.
Nice.
Yep, it's legit. All right, I'll hopefully catch up with you on the sticks because I'm off the next couple days. Otherwise, I'll catch up with you this week.
We'll
and
have to maybe get on some forts or something. Chew and I played a game of forts the other day with Jake.
Yeah, I'll do that. I could do that, I think.
Word.
All right, man. Catch you later. I'll be on. Peace, all right, peace. Hey, Rich, Raj. Nice long pod on a Monday. The Monday is the classic Seggy pod day. Like, Monday is the day normally during the golf season. Even though the calendar doesn't look great for that this year, so we'll see. Have to figure out a day. But that's normally the day. Thursday afternoon's a good spot as well to get in the weekly pod for me. Come after this month, really, once the schedule starts cranking up at the golf course. Hopefully linking up with Shu tomorrow. Get a couple of pods in this week. Really pumped with just where I'm at with everything. Got the stickers here if anyone wants them. Been shouting that out. Been out on Spotify since December. Got 10 episodes in my first season. I've been breaking it up by months. Season 2, 13 episodes. Season 3, 15 episodes. And I believe I'll have my fourth episode out and season 4 out on Spotify today. Did a little bit more investing to keep the podcast going. Proud of it. Proud of everything I'm doing with it. Proud of all the support I've been getting from it. Looking forward to hopefully getting in a few more this week, and then just following the sports world. A lot of going on, obviously, with NBA coming back on Wednesday, college hoops, as I mentioned a bunch, and NFL offseason activities, tag deadline tomorrow, free agency starting, I believe, the 15th or 17th, 4 p.m. deadline on that as well. Should have a good amount of news coming out in the league in that regard come a couple weeks from now. April 29th, about a month and a couple weeks from now, is slated to be the NFL draft. A lot of good sports stuff. Players Championship this week, first major on the PGA Tour, Augusta back in April, that's coming up obviously as well. Just classic sports news, classic sporting events, classic for a sports fan, for a sports guy, for a guy that likes to talk sports. Much love to everybody that follows along. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. You're listening to Seggy Station.